Diary. Today I interviewed Nick. He's been a mascot for 16 years. He's currently our Thunder, Striker, and six different characters for the Wildlife Education Coalition. And he has his own side business cleaning mascot suits. So take a listen. Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So how long have you been a mascot?
I'm entering my 16th year overall. I started in high school. I was a Greyhound for a little tiny high school up in New Ulm, Minnesota. And from there, I moved to Maryland. I was a Lion for the high school there. And a friend of mine was working for the Frederick Keys baseball team. And he said, you know, hey, man, you're a mascot. We actually need someone to be our coyote. I said, okay, why not? So they gave me a quick tryout, and I was signed up immediately. Spent about almost 4 years with that team before I moved up to upstate New York for college. I was hired by the Batavia Muck Dogs and the Rochester Razor Sharks in the same year. Then I became my college's mascot, Ellsworth the Eagle. This is back in like 2006. From there, I was hired by the Rochester Red Wings, the Rochester Grey Wolves. There were so many teams. At one point, I was working for seven teams at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. and then, you know, the Amerks and the Nighthawks hired me in 2008. At that time, they're under the same ownership. So the Eagle character, R. Thunder, was doing both Rochester Americans and Rochester Nighthawk games. So that was quite a heavy workload. Then they split ownership, I think about 4 or 5 years ago. So I left the Americans, but I stayed with the Nighthawks full time. From there, I was hired by the Western New York Flash to be their dog Striker. And the Wildlife Educators Coalition saw what I was doing. It was, they liked what I was doing so much. They were like, we actually could use some costume characters. So I joined up with them in 2011. And I left a lot of the teams in between 2011 and 2012 because I had really bad arthritis. But I stayed with the Nighthawks, the Flash, and the wildlife stuff. So that's where I am now.
Wow. It never ceases to amaze me, like, just how much work you guys do. You're just everywhere. And when I talk to a mascot, it's like, this is only my 10th episode, but I've talked to way more mascots because you guys are all like 3 or 4 or 5 different mascots. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't say for some episodes, I can't say, but I'm glad that, you know, you're giving me background detailed information, because a lot of people that they won't give me that. And I totally understand, but it's nice to, you know, put a visual to, you know, the person talking, like when you mention all these things, like if they want to go look that up, you know. So
yeah.
And for your current job or jobs, you're the only one in the suit
99% of the time. Yeah. Obviously doing two teams at the same time, there are schedule conflicts occasionally. So every once in a while I get someone to help me out, either wearing our Thunder or Striker. But yeah, the majority of the time, it's just me.
So you have a backup?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, it changes who it is. Sometimes it's just someone from the front office, or sometimes it's one of the guys from the other teams who just happens to have nothing to do that day and can help me out.
And is there a lot of communication that goes on? Like, if you do have to miss a day, like, do you, like, prep them, like, okay, like, our biggest fan is going to be there or something, so you need to, like, I don't know.
We try to. I mean, because in our city, we have quite a number of sports teams, and a lot of the time, you know, we don't have conflicts. But every once in a while, there's a game that, you know, say Rex the Rhino from the Rochester Rhinos can't make, and so then there's a call out to the rest of us guys in the area. Hey, can you be Rex today? And then if one of us can, then it's, you know, they give us the game day agenda, you know, what promotions are happening, what section do you have to stop in, and, you know, all that good stuff. So hopefully we're not leaving the fill-in to flounder. I mean, sometimes it happens just because a lot of unexpected stuff can come up, but we try to send them in so they're not completely blind.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this is your career, right? Like your professional career as a mascot, would you say that?
Yeah, it kind of turned into that. I mean, I had thought about retiring from sports mascot work, but that hasn't happened, and I don't know if it's ever going to.
Why not? Is it? I heard that it's like this bug, and then it turns into this fever, and then, yeah, that's the way people have described it before.
Yeah, I'd say that's fairly accurate, especially up here, because there's no shortage of stuff to do as your respective characters.
I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and like, how many people would you say like know you're a mascot and you're in the suit, or know which characters you are at a certain point?
Oh, it actually surprises me how many people know and can actually figure out who's who by, you know, how they walk, how they swing their arms. For example, when I worked with the Red Wings, there were four of us who did Spikes, their main male character. And aside from some height differences, a lot of the times the season ticket holders could tell which one of us was who, just based on our stride, our walk, our mannerisms, and even how we wore our socks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's amazing how little details like that can just give you away.
So, I mean, they actually knew who you were, or they were, I don't know, did they nickname you or something?
Yeah, I was Short Spikes because I was the smallest. And a lot of them knew the main guy because he was the one who did most of the community appearances. So we did a lot of the coordinating. And that's kind of what it turned into with R Thunder and Stryker, you know, dealing a lot with the public just on a one-on-one basis out of the costume. So everyone knows, you know, oh, it's Nick. He's the guy in the costume. Hey, it's great to see you, Nick.
You were talking about like coordinating and stuff, and so you're the main guy for Thunder and or R Thunder and Spike as well. And so do you come up with the skits and the promotions, or is that like, do you work with your team?
We used to do a lot of skits, especially during baseball games with, you know, back with the Red Wings and the Muck Dogs when I was with them, just because there was time between innings that you had to fill up, and there wasn't always stuff to fill it up with, so they would just let us do whatever we wanted. So sometimes I would just get out in the field and, you know, dance to a certain song, or they let me up in the dugout and do something. With some of the other teams, especially my current team, there's just no time at all. So what little time they have between TV timeouts and between the periods, usually we're down there doing promotions or, you know, shooting T-shirts into the stands from the turf. So we don't get to do as many skits as we used to, but occasionally, you know, I'll get to chime in and say, like, oh, play this song. You know, I got this special move, you know, and they'll usually let me do that.
You're there more for, like, the crowd pleasing and just to get the crowd going, right?
Yeah, I mean, we also do post-game autograph sessions with the Nighthawks. I mean, not every game, but most of the games. And I try to make it out to those as well. Thunder is pretty popular. So whoever I don't get to see in the stands usually comes down to the session to see me.
That's awesome. When you're out in the crowd, like, what are some tips that you have, like, dealing with the different fans? Because I'm sure you get the kids, you get the drunk people, maybe you get the crazy lady fans.
Yeah, Nighthawk games can pack a pretty seriously huge crowd. Our arena can seat, I think, 11,000 to 12,000 people. And some games pack about that much. So when I'm in the stands, sometimes it's really difficult just to navigate around because there's so many people trying to get from one spot to the other. But so I learned early on that I have to, like, stick to the wall as close as possible so I don't clog up the concourse with, you know, 30 or 40 kids wanting autographs, which kind of happens on a typical night. Yeah, I do see quite a few drunk fans. Usually they kind of keep to themselves or their buddies, but every once in a while one of them wander down and be like, "Hey, Thunder, what's up, man?" And kind of mess with me a little bit, you know, slap the beak around, ruffle my feathers, whatever. Usually they don't mean any harm and they go on their way. But, you know, there's always that one guy, you know, that one guy who just wants, for whatever reason, to just really mess with you. Luckily, those interactions don't last very long. And if they do get out of hand, there's usually like tons of ushers and security guards. So all I have to do is like look in the direction of one of them and they can usually read my body language and, oh, the bird's in trouble, and swoop in to kind of neutralize the situation. So I would recommend, you know, if you're a mascot out there and this sort of thing happens to you all the time, try to get a working relationship with your ushers or security guards. So if you do get into some scuffles or trouble, you know, they know that, you know, to come in and kind of bail you out so you don't get your tail ripped off or something horrible.
Oh yeah, definitely. And so you don't have a handler or anything? I've always, you know, wondered and worried about those mascots that don't have handlers, because I mean, yeah, you always have your ushers and stuff, but maybe, you know, some of the ushers when I'm at a game, like, they're paying attention to the game, you know. I mean, every now and then when someone walks up, but like if the mascot walks by, they're like, oh yeah, they can like handle their own, you know. But I don't know, I just worry sometimes about the mascots without handlers. But I mean, like, you can handle it, and the mascots that I have seen with no handler, I mean, I guess they just do their own thing. So
yeah, it depended on the team, really. I'd say when I worked with the Rochester Americans, they used to give us a handler almost all the time, unless they couldn't spare one for some reason. And that was also mainly because we had a lot more promotions to do, so they had to ensure that the two of us mascots would get to, you know, whatever section they were going to do the live shot from on time. But most of the other teams I worked for never gave us one. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I could probably count on one hand the amount of like bad things that have happened. But on the whole, you know, once I've learned the layout of the arena, I can just get from one point to another rather easily without getting stuck too often. And I don't run into too much trouble. I hope I didn't just jinx myself as the new season starts this week. So, I mean, sometimes I do wish I had a handler. There's always that one time they will come in like amazingly handy, especially if you're wearing a mask that really messes up your vision.
Yeah. And how well can you see in your mask? Which, I don't know. Some I feel have a little bit more of vision than others. And then, like, I've tried on like one head for one of my elementary schools, and it was one of those, you know, just stock costumes. And I'm like, no way, like, I'm claustrophobic in this thing. Like, there's like this tiny little like pencil hole that I'm like trying to see through. Like, no way. So yeah.
Well, with Thunder, he's got two heads. We use one head for appearances, and that's that head is a big smiley head, open beak, and that one has the better visibility. For sure, because you can see out of the eyes and the beak.
Oh, wow.
The game day head is a little more of a serious look. Yeah. And so his beak is closed, so you just have the eyes. And I can get around in that one okay until, you know, a flight of stairs is involved. And then that can be a little challenging. So I started memorizing how many stairs are in each staircase in the arena.
I was just going to ask. I was like, oh my gosh, do you totally count the steps?
Yeah, I have to. With Striker, they built that head in such a way that you see out of the mouth, but, you know, his muzzle hangs so low that you can't look up, you know, so you're kind of looking down. So you see everyone from like the chest down. So going up and down steps in that one isn't too bad, but you can't see people waving at you at all.
It's like the mascot. I was waving at him the whole time. He didn't even come over.
I get that a lot.
I was
Luckily with most of the wildlife characters, they're very small heads. So the eyes line up pretty much where your eyes are supposed to be. So most of the time I can see where I'm going fairly well with those.
All right, so let's jump into the wildlife educators. Is it wildlife educators?
Yeah, Wildlife Educators Coalition and the program that we do with our talking critters is, we just call it Animal School.
And that's so cool. Like, I was researching this. And so tell us what it's about and your role in this.
Well, Animal School in itself, like in its current form, started last year, probably at the middle of May. And this was after we joined up with the Wildlife Educators Coalition back in 2011. I had run into the group. They were doing a presentation about Native North American canines, so like the wolf, coyote, and foxes. And I was at that event dressed as a coyote because the event they were doing it with was a nature center that I sometimes volunteer my time with. And I got to talking to the lady who ran it. And I said, you know, we just started something with talking characters. Occasionally we do storytelling. And she's like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. You should join up with us. So I did. And so our coyote character was the first talking character we had. And he started touring some of the events that the coalition was doing. So, and it was small at first. It was just like, you know, Kip Coyote was going to tell some stories or, you know, teach people about certain animals. And from there, we got more and more and more and more characters, especially as we went through last year with these talking heads that we found, which kind of eliminated the problem of people not being able to hear a word we were saying, you know, with those big padded mascot heads. And as we acquired more characters and had some of our stories published and we're getting more events booked, we decided let's make this an actual huge freestanding program. And Animal School was kind of born out of that. We put together a Facebook page for it, a blog for it, Twitter, Instagram. We started shooting videos for YouTube with our various characters. And so now that it's kind of like the quiet season, Katie and I are, you know, constantly posting stuff on social media, trying to get stuff ready for the spring and summer seasons. And it sounds like we're going to have a pretty busy 2017 for sure, which is great.
Oh yeah. No, that sounds awesome. So you're telling these stories and just to confirm, you're talking in the suit, like you showed me the helmet right now and the mouth moves and everything. And it's so cool. And so you're telling the stories to these kids, right? And then, or whoever, you know, wants, who's at these events. And how are the kids reacting to you? Because in my experience, my friends' kids do not like mascots.
Well, we used to use the traditional mascot costumes, you know, with the big heads and the big padded bodies who couldn't talk or couldn't talk well. You know, we noticed there was a lot of hesitation. And when we found these masks with the moving mouths and tried them out, it seemed to break this barrier. You know, people weren't nearly as shy or hesitant about coming over and seeing what we were doing once they realized that the wolf or the fox was talking to them and interacting and relating to them. And for a lot of the kids who were shy, you know, with the old characters, they really warmed up with the new ones. And from there, we could insert our educational material, you know, teach them the various wolf howls or teach them what it takes to live as a red fox or an Arctic fox. And, you know, we were able to build a dialogue where we used to not have one at all. And it's kind of amazing that all it took was just a moving jaw on a mask.
Yeah.
Make that happen. You still get some shy kids, but, you know, on the majority of them are like, wow, that wolf can talk.
Yeah, definitely. I know my niece would probably be like, wow. But so that's awesome. I'm all about education and wildlife. So, I mean, when you told me about that and I was researching, I was like, this is really cool. And it's awesome. So what would you say is your favorite event out of everything that you're doing right now?
For the sports teams, My favorite thing to do is to get involved with as many as the local charities as possible. We have a ton of them in our city. Majority of them that I end up getting involved with, just because I know so many people who run them, so I get the most requests, is the kids' cancer organizations. So we have like the Cure Association, we have Cure Bears, and we have a bunch of smaller ones that fit under that umbrella and work with them. So, you know, we'll get out and we'll do the Annalisa's Friends 5K, where everyone wears tutus and tiaras, and even the mascots get to wear tutus.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would say those are my favorite because, you know, they're causes that matter. And being able to just bring some public awareness to these events that might not otherwise get as much is fantastic.
Definitely. And I don't know if you want to pick like a favorite of... No, I won't let you know. I won't make you like choose.
I was going to say for the wildlife creatures, right now I'd say my favorite one is a program we do with the wolf. We call it Lupinology. Basically, it's everything you ever wanted to know about wolves, but were afraid to ask. So I spent months and months and months researching wolf howls and then learning how to do them and figuring out what each one means, because, you know, it's a unique language unto itself. So when we do these programs, you know, we structured it so Howler the wolf would get out and start teaching people like the simple howls first. So we'd start off with like the lonesome howl, and then we'd go into the confrontation howl, the pup howl, the alarm bark, the alarm howl, and so on and so on. And being able to see everyone's face in the audience kind of light up, because not only do they have someone who's kind of making wolves a little less terrifying, but they're breaking down, you know, wolf life, so it's digestible and understandable, and then they can kind of howl back and kind of use what they learn to communicate with me. So far, out of all six of our talking characters, doing anything with Howler is the most fun.
That's awesome. That sounds really cool too. I mean, all these like things that you don't think about, like different howls and stuff, and learning about that seems really interesting. So I gotta look up more YouTube videos. And learn more about wolves.
Yeah, we did I think 7 or 8 different videos just with our two fox characters about the different North American fox species, which got a lot of attention, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's always great when you're watching the views go up and stuff, and you know that people are watching your stuff. So alrighty, so what's the hardest thing about mascotting?
You know, a lot of people probably would say the heat, and that is a problem. But I'd say for me personally, it's juggling so much at one time. I mean, obviously, I'm not doing 7 teams at the same time anymore, thank goodness. But, you know, it still surprises me how difficult it can be at times to, you know, try to schedule community events and appearances. And, you know, you get requests that come in at this, you know, for this something on the same day, roughly around the same time. And you got to figure out, all right, so if I put the suit on at home and drive over to event A, if I leave that event at such and such time, I might have time to get there to the start of event B. But wait a minute, that's on the other side of town and it's rush hour. So, you know, and, you know, it's things like that. They can just make things really complicated. But I'd say over the last few years, I've gotten a little bit better at it. But, you know, it's a very unique challenge, especially if you have to switch suits between, you know, 2 or 3 events.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so what would you say is your favorite thing about mascotting?
My favorite thing probably is just being able to brighten someone's day. You know, around here, around the winter, it's just gray and cold all the time. And being able to get thunder out at the games or at appearances, especially as our season starts in a week and, you know, goes through the snowiest part of the year, it's good to just make someone happy as they come in from the frozen, the frozen outdoors. And with the other characters, it's just being able to make an impact in their life. You know, maybe they'll learn something new about, you know, red-tailed hawks or something. Or, you know, Stryker can sign a soccer ball for a fan who's never been to a soccer game before, and that just made their first game that more special.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's all about those kids and mascots making life better.
Yeah.
And you said that you could probably name like the bad things that have happened like on one hand. Do you mind sharing one of just one story?
Oh, I got a couple. The one that comes to mind immediately was probably during the 2009 season back with the Razor Sharks. And this one particular incident probably contributed to my arthritis big time. And it was towards the end of that season, and there was one section of fans who was at every game. They were always really rowdy, really excited. And, I mean, they're good guys, don't get me wrong, but at the games, they would just kind of get out of control. So I avoided them for most of the season. And on this particular game, I decided, oh, you know, why not? It's the end of the night. Better go see them. So I go over there, and we start jumping around. And next thing you know, I feel my feet leave the ground, and I'm being lifted up. And I'm going over their heads. And I'm crowd surfing, and it was a new experience. I've never had that happen, and I'm like, this is actually kind of fun. Until someone dropped me, and I landed on my head. The mascot head fell off.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt a lot. So I quickly put the head back on and just made a dash to the dressing room, you know, because I that was excruciating. And by the next game, you know, I was so stiff and sore. You know, the team masseuses had to work on me. They're just like, Finley, what happened to you? And I told them the story. They're like, oh, my God. Okay, get in here. Sit on the chair. We got to get these kinks out. So that wasn't a whole lot of fun. And I didn't stay with them for that much longer after that just because my joints were awful. But I'll never forget that particular experience for sure. It was my first time crowd surfing and hopefully the last time crowd surfing.
Wow. And I mean, I'm thankful that you're okay. And then like nothing like came of it, like no concussion or anything. If you're falling on your head, I mean.
Yeah, luckily there was a lot of padding in that shark head.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, I mean, thank you for sharing that. That one's a tough one. That one's going to be rough to listen back to. I'd be like, oh, I know it's coming. Yeah. But I'm glad you're okay. And thanks for sharing. And then last few things, what other mascots inspire you?
Over the last 16 years, you know, I've met a lot of interesting characters. I've met a lot of great performers. I'd say the one that started it all was when I was in middle school, and this was back in the early 90s. I was living in Kentucky at the time, and our city, Lexington, got its first, and as far as I know, only AHL hockey team. Their mascot was a horse named Lucky, because, you know, it's horse racing country. And seeing him skate out to a laser light show, pyrotechnics, and, you know, seeing him get to shoot pyrotechnics off his hockey stick was kind of what started it all for me. I'm like, oh, wow, that looks like fun. I also admire the work that Erin Blank has done. Not only in her performing career, but in her costume creation career. Especially now that I'm making parts for these wildlife characters, tails and paws and things. I also rather admire the work that we were able to do together. Back when I was in Frederick, Maryland with the Frederick Keys, we were affiliated with the Baltimore Orioles. At the time, they had four performers. And getting to work a lot with them kind of shaped, you know, how I approach mascotting. And it was great just be able to see things from their point of view, work a 70,000 plus person crowd, you know, get that chance to see what that's like. And obviously getting to work with all the current mascots in my area, just being able to bounce ideas off of each other. You know, oh, I tried this at this game, and oh, I tried this at this event. and troubleshooting, you know, costume issues. And it's good to collaborate, work together, and it's rather inspiring.
That's awesome that you've learned so much, you know, throughout the years and from so many people. And like, so you make your own like mascot hands and tails?
Yeah, it started, you know, probably way back at the beginning of my mascot life. The costumes, some of them are really old or just were used so often they would just start unraveling, and you'd tell people, oh, this needs to be fixed or this needs to be replaced. And you know how things are with budgets, it just never happens.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to self-teach myself, you know, if your paw gets a hole in it, or if the sole in the shoe starts to come off, or the strap in the head, you know, you have to fix it yourself, because it probably won't get tended to until maybe the end of the season. And by then the problem's probably way out of hand. So that's where that started. And then when we started, you know, having to replace parts, like, and I had to learn how to do them myself, which kind of came in handy, especially, you know, now a lot of people are just looking to me, can you clean our costume? And next thing you know, there's three giant dinosaurs sitting in my living room that need to be washed and repaired.
But I mean, you're getting extra money for that, right?
Yeah, most of the time.
That's totally me. Like, I'm going to shout him out, Kingston, if you ever want to be on the show. He has like tape on his thumb and he's missing a tooth. And I'm like, bro, if you're listening to this, just bring it over. I will sew it on for you. I will fix it. Like, I see that stuff and I'm just, I don't know. I know it's tough. If you can't do it yourself, you know, the team's not going to pay for that or whatever. So if you have someone like handy, willing to help you out, that's awesome. You know, number one, that they want to help, and number two, that they can, you know, maybe stitch that up for you or whatever. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Especially when I found out this past fall, I'm apparently the only guy in the area who fixes and cleans things for people. So I guess that explains suddenly the big surplus of requests. Can you clean our cow? Can you fix our, you know, lion?
But I mean, that's something like good to look into. I mean, business wise and stuff, if you're thinking that, you know, you want to retire from one of your other jobs and then you have this side business thing, that's something that you can get into. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh yeah. It's kind of become its own thing over the last few years. And so if anyone out there wants to check out Mascots United on Facebook, that's where all my cleaning commissions end up going.
Alrighty. Yeah, so any shout outs or anything that you want to give, your Twitter accounts?
Yeah, I think just about every character has their own social media. If anyone wants to follow R Thunder from the Nighthawks, his Twitter handle is Real R Thunder. He's also on Facebook just as R Thunder Nighthawk. Striker used to have social media pages, but the folks who ran it don't run it anymore. No one remembers the password. So if you do find Striker the Flash Scott out there, you might not hear anything out of him, unfortunately. Again, Mascots United is my like freelance performing and suit cleaning stuff. And you can follow the Wildlife Educators Coalition's Animal School on Facebook. I know it's a really long name, but we're on there. We're also on Twitter at WEC Animal School. And I believe that's the same name for our Instagram account as well. And we're all over YouTube as well. Obviously, we'll be posting links on our Facebook and Twitter pages. So if you can't find anything, you know, just comment somewhere. We'll get links for you.
Cool. And I'll post the links in the episode on the website when your episode launches. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for your time. I really enjoy talking to you. You had some great stories. And thanks for showing me the helmet. That's awesome. And, any other thing? Anything else you want to add?
It's just everybody out there who's a mascot right now, keep doing what you're doing. You know, you're doing a good thing, even if it doesn't feel like it sometimes. I know the job can get frustrating. I know it can get kind of hard. But, you know, just get out there, be fuzzy and friendly, you know, keep those paws up and high-fiving, keep the tails wagging. You're doing a good thing. And you never know exactly how much of an impact you're making on someone's life. But trust me, you are. So talk on, my friends.
That's awesome. Thank you. And that was it for episode number 10. I made it to 10, you guys. I'm not sure if I'll make it to 15, but I'm trying. So remember, if you're a mascot and you'd like to be on the show, email me at contact@mascotdiaries.com. I just wanted to give a little update on Nick. He's no longer a striker for the Flash because they moved, and he was pretty bummed about that, but he hopes to do some work with another soccer team. So just wanted to give you that little update. And I'll try and keep this short. I don't know if I can. So much I wanted to touch on. I went to the NHL mascot events last weekend, and I was chasing around all the mascots. Yeah, my favorite had to be Victory Green. I don't know. I dig green. That's my favorite color. I love the chubbiness, and I love the aliens. I love the aliens and the dog mascots. I don't know why. Definitely the most energetic mascot there was Nordy. He was just all over the place, and he was out there all the time, and he was climbing over everything. Yeah, he was pretty cool to see, and he was super nice when I met him. Also, Yuppie was out there. He wasn't really doing much. He was kind of just sitting and watching the game and interacting with whoever was around him, but he was out there most of the time, and Iceberg was out there a majority of the time dancing. But I will say, he kind of ignored the kids, and he was even running away from some. So he was just ignoring people. It kind of reminded me of Bailey. And I understand. I understand you guys are busy and you don't want to be bothered and you got to do all your things. But Bailey's kind of rubbing me the wrong way. I've been to too many games where he just ignores people. And I get it. I get it. But I don't know. I understand that he wants to be the sassiest lion on the internet and on Twitter and stuff. And he's made number one on all these mascot lists and blah, blah, blah. But he'll never listen to this, so I really don't care. I don't know. I, you know who I saw that was really cool? That I was like, see, that's how you ignore fans or you get away from fans, taking pictures with fans. Tommy Hawk. I hate the Blackhawks. Kings and Blackhawks have this total rivalry, right? But Tommy Hawk was so funny and so cool running around the concourse. He was taking pictures with this Blackhawks couple. So there was this crowd forming, right? So, I mean, obviously everyone saw a mascot. They wanted to take pictures. So he picked up the chick and he just started running, right? And he ran maybe to the next aisle or whatever to enter where the seats are. And he dropped the chick and then he just kept running a little bit. And so it was funny because he was, the next picture he took, he was just leaning on the chick. And the chick was really concerned about, like, oh my God, like he's going to fall over if like I let go. So it was just really funny. He was messing with people. At one point, he was on the floor for a good minute, just like dead on the floor for like a minute. I don't know. He was really entertaining, so he was cool. And that, I thought that was a really creative way of avoiding fans. You know, it's like, oh, I'm just going to pick up this chick and then drop her, you know, a few feet away, or just drop dead and then just run away all of a sudden. So, yeah, they're nicer ways of avoiding people. Yeah. So I don't know. I was really bummed that I didn't get to see Stormy. I had heard really good things about him. I saw him once in the VIP section and I never saw him again. And I was up and about like, dude, I didn't watch. My dad was mad because I missed like one whole period of the actual All-Star game. But yeah, it was just really cool to meet all the mascots and see all of them checking out the ring. Yeah, I think all of them pretty much took a look at it. I understand it was like, what am I holding up? I don't want to hold anything up that is going to, I don't know, market anything. You're not marketing anything for me. I'm not making money off this. Yeah, NJ Devil was the only one that was just like put it behind his back and he didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, all right, whatever. And Bernie was the only one who was really like, what the heck is this? He's like, what is this? I don't get it. And I explained, I felt like an idiot explaining it. I don't know why. Because it's like, obviously I'm talking to someone, but at the same time, I would like for you to listen, but I don't care. You're probably not going to listen. So here I am just wasting your time. I mean, there was no line like to take a picture and like no crowd was around him or anything, but I just felt bad. I was like, it's this podcast where I interview mascots. Yeah, you should check it out. You should be on. And he was just like, all right, whatever, go away. So I didn't really want to talk much about it. I was just like, take a picture with the ring. I'll tweet you later. I'll tweet our picture out later. So Howler was pretty cool. He was coming out of one of the entrances to, and right around the corner, it's the concession stand, right? So he was banging on the counter and he was pointing to the popcorn And while they were getting his popcorn, I snapped a picture, like a selfie. And it was so funny because I heard like one of the girls, like one of the workers say, he's not going to pay for that. And then, yeah, I don't know if they thought I was going to pay for it, but they gave him the popcorn. I was like, oh, hey, can I have some popcorn? He was like, oh, yeah, sure. Take it. Right. So I just grabbed a handful and like walked away. But the lady was like, I told you he's not going to pay for it. It was good times. There was one really stinky mascot. I don't know what the issue was. I understand your suit gets dirty. Maybe he was wearing it and he had to pack it before it could completely dry. From what you guys tell me, you need to let it dry or else it'll smell. But that thing reeked and you could smell it from a mile away. And I felt so bad for just anyone near that thing. And I don't think they let him come out that third day. He played the mascot game. And after that, I didn't see him anywhere else. So I'm not going to say which mascot it was, but he reeked. And I felt really bad. No one wants to be the stinky mascot. You don't want to be the smelly one. So yeah, that was it for my mascot adventure at the NHL All-Star event. If you're listening and you were there and I took a picture with you, thank you. Especially if you like put on my ring, if you took the time to like put it on. I appreciate that. And next week I talk with another university mascot. I have to get it approved, so I have to edit it and send it. So hopefully you'll be listening to that episode. I don't know, maybe it won't get approved. Fingers crossed. And thanks again for listening.